Let's get straight into the Word. Amen. It's okay. You got your Bibles with you or your phones. Open to Psalm 32, verse 8. Very quickly. Psalm 32, verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Amen. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. He has the best pathway for all of us, all of you. There it is. Thank you. The first point I'm going to talk about is the God who sees me. The story is from Genesis 16. It's about Hagar and Ishmael. Now, a little bit background about the story. It's about Sarah and Abraham who could not have children, right? You know that one. And then God told Abraham, you're going to be father of many nations. You're going to have a son and all these things. But they were waiting. As they were waiting, they could not wait any longer. So what happened was Sarah went and said, Abraham, take my maid Hagar, have a child with her. Okay? Abraham agreed. And so Hagar gets pregnant. And then she starts to treat Sarah with contempt. The word says, she starts to despise Sarah. You cannot get pregnant. Now I am pregnant. I am the captain now. I am the lady of the house. So Sarah gets so worked up. So when God blesses you, be humble. Huh? Don't let it get to your head. So Sarah is upset. And then she complains to Abraham. Abraham, this lady, look at her now. So Abraham said, you know what? Fine. Do whatever you want with her. So Sarah starts to mistreat Hagar, starts to abuse her. I don't care. You're pregnant. You're still my slave. Go do my laundry. Go prepare my meal. You got morning sickness? Not my problem. Go mop the kitchen. Go do this. I'm sure it's a lot worse than that. I'm just trying to imagine. And then it got so bad that Hagar ran away. All right, now here's where the story picks up. Genesis 16, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. Remember, she ran away. Then the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. I'm going to skip straight to verse 13. It says, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who has spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well, where she met God, was named Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. Well of the living one who sees me. Today, you have made it to church. You have come to the well of the living one who sees you. Amen. God sees you this morning. Hagar was so alone out there, mistreated, abused, hurt, upset. And she was just a slave. She can't do anything about it. She's of a lowly stature, lowly position. She must have been reminded by Sarah again and again, over and over. But sometimes running away is not God's solution. Hello? I want to quit this job. I cannot stand this boss. I want to quit this marriage. I had enough. I want to quit this business. I want to quit. I want to run away. Then imagine Hagar. She's happy that God came and saw her. Very happy already. And then God says something not very happy. Go back and submit. We don't like to hear that one. Go back and submit. Go through the process where I want you to be. And there's a great blessing waiting for you when we learn to submit. When we learn to submit. The best place you can be is where God puts you. The best place you can be is at the center of His plan. The best pathway for your life. Amen. I'm not asking you to, if God asking you to move, but I'm stubborn, I still want to stay. No, God asks you to move, you move. But this is about God asking her to stay, to go back. Joseph in the Bible, we know his story, how he became prime minister while he was in jail. And he saw a way out of jail by interpreting somebody's dream. He interpreted this guy's dream. He was the cupbearer. He said, when you go back to the palace, remember me. He used his gift to open the door. And remember me, my get out of, you are my get out of jail card. You're going to help me get out of this position. But what happened? The guy forgot about him for 2 years. Was it a coincidence? No. God wanted him to stay where he had to stay. Why? Because 2 years later, when he comes out, he doesn't come out as a free man. He comes out and becomes prime minister. A blessing comes when you submit to the will of God. The best pathway for your life. Amen. From prisoner to prime minister overnight. If he would have came out 2 years earlier, he would have missed that golden opportunity of a lifetime. He would have missed the blessing. Where God places you is the best you can be. Trust Him. Being in the center of His plan is the best place you can be. It might not look like it. It might not be nice. It might not be everything you hoped and dreamed for, but you will see it yourself, how things will turn around. What's the text for today? Let's show it back up there. The Lord says, I will guide you, there you go, along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. I will watch over you. Amen. He sees you. When you think He doesn't know when people mistreat you? Do you think He doesn't know when people treat you badly, do wrong to you, injustice happen to you, cheat you, con you? You think He doesn't know? He knows, and He loves you, and He cares for you. We are the apple of His eye. Amen. Psalm 17:8, it says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Apple of your eye means you are always in His gaze. You are always within His eyesight. He always sees you, always being watched closely by God. Amen. You are the apple of His eye. He never let you out of His sight. Amen. So for God, His children is the apple of His eye. For Asian parents, your children is your ROI. You don't understand, ask your wife to explain. So anyway, Hagar ran away, all right? But she found a spring. Church, you got to know where to find the spring. You got to know where to find the well of living water. It's in His presence. Come in His presence. Don't come after the worship team finish. Everybody going down already. Everybody want to sit down. Then you walk in. You miss His presence. When we preach, when we sing, when we give of our tithes and offerings, that's where His presence is. Where the river is flowing, where the grace is flowing, where the anointing is flowing. When we do altar calls, that is where the presence is. Don't wait for everybody go home, then you come for prayer. Why? While the river is flowing, while the Spirit is touching people, while people are getting breakthrough, while there is anointing in this place, come to the altar. Amen. So she went looking for water, but she found God. Amen. Sounds familiar. Second point, the God who looks for me. Somebody else who went to the well and found God. It's about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. John 4, it's because Jesus goes to Samaria. The word says He had to go to Samaria. Why? To meet this person. So He had to go to Samaria. He's resting by the well on a hot noonday sun. His disciples, He sent them off to the village to go and buy food. He was alone sitting at the well. The Samaritan woman comes up to the well and she wants to draw water. And Jesus asked her, please give me a drink. She said, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me? Jews and Samaritans do not talk to one another. They don't associate one another. Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Then she says, where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well, they dug and they gave? Jesus says, everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She says, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to this well. He told her in verse 16, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she says. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. So what you said is quite true. Now the woman is shocked. She says, I know that you are a prophet. And she begins to ask him about worship and all that. I'm not going to go into that. And Jesus answers her. And then she says in verse 25, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. He revealed himself to her as the Messiah. Amen. For those who say Jesus never said he's the Messiah, he is. You read your Bible. It's all over the place. He is God. So she went looking for water. She was thirsty physically. Physically thirsty, going to the well. But she was also thirsty in her soul, in her heart, in her life. Man after man after man. And for some men, it's girls after girls after girls. I know some of you thinking, oh, yala, this guy is like that. That girl is like that. It's not about them. It's about you today. It's about us today. Because for you, it might not be a girl or boy problem or what. It might be a TV series. Series after series after series. Korean drama, very addictive. Korean drama after Korean drama, I cannot stop watching. Don't even want to come to church unless your pastor looks like a opa and the pastor's wife must look like a ajuma. There's a pastor who had problem, Tamil pastor. He had problem with Tamil movies. He would quickly preach everything finished so he can go home and quickly watch Tamil movies. Movies after movies after movies, you are thirsty. Some people is gadgets. I need the most happening, latest gadget out there. Some people is cars. Oh, I want this car, I want that car, I want another car. Keep changing. Some people is motorcycles. Bike after bike after bike. But Harley Davidson is different, lah. It's okay. When you start Harley Davidson, you hear the roaring, thundering sound of the heavenly hosts of angels. Boom! No need shofar. What is shofar? No need. Just start the bike and give it one rev. Demons flee. Joking, huh? Don't quote me on that. Majulah sukan untuk negara. So you're all trying to feel a thirst. A thirst. You have a thirst that is just not there. Sometimes you sit on TV, you flip channel, flip channel, flip channel. You are thirsty. You are searching for something and nothing is going to satisfy you. It's not going to satisfy you. But so Jesus confronts her with grace and with truth. The truth is, woman, you have a problem. Direct, straight to her. That is the truth. I'm not here to judge. And then the grace is, I'm not here to judge you. He made his way to Samaria to meet her. That is grace. Jesus functions in grace and in truth. The truth will never change. The truth is not nice. It's not comfortable. Because the truth is you got a problem. So problem is not going to change. You have to change. Amen. Amen. He made a way for her. There's nothing in it for him. That is his grace. Offer salvation. The living water. She was not even looking for God. She was only looking for water, but she met God. God is looking for you, church. He is waiting for you. You might not even be searching. You just thought today, I just come to church or what? Guess what? God wants to have an encounter with you. Are you going to respond to Him? Amen. Third point, God who saves me. Let's go back to the Hagar story. Hagar and Ishmael. Now we fast forward a few years ahead. Sarah now has her own son, Isaac. But Ishmael, the older half-brother, Hagar's son, starts to behave like his mother. He starts to mock Isaac. See a pattern? The mother like that, the son also like that. Start to mock, disturb AJ. And then Sarah gets angry. And this time, she tells Abraham, get rid of her and get rid of the son. This time you don't need to run away. This time I kick you out. Go. Before you run away. When I was young, I fought with my father. My father scolded me. I was like 9 or 10 years old. He's not here. I can talk about him. So he scolded me, fighting, crying, all this thing. I went in my room very angry. Take my clothes, put in the bag. I want to run away. He came. Oh, you want to run away? Come, let me help you pack. He started to take my... plan cancel. Reverse psychology work. You don't need to run. I kick you out. Let me help you pack. So she ran away. She tried. She don't need to run away. She got kicked out. Okay, now let's go to the story. Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of water, putting it on her shoulder. He gave it and the boy to Hagar, and he sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs, one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance about a bow shop, for she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." She sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Now this is interesting. It says, "And God heard the voice of the lad, of the boy." Yeah? Then the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Okay, this is interesting because she lifted her voice and she wept, and God heard the voice of the lad. Not her voice, because she was just crying. She got no more words to say. Sometimes we're like Hagar, when we don't have the words to say anymore, where the shock is too great, the trauma is too great, the hurts is too great, we don't know what to say, and we just sit there and we cry, and tears are streaming down your face. Have you ever been this hurt? Have you ever been this broken? Where words fail you. I'm sure I'm not the only one who goes through this, went through this. And I just sit down, God, I don't know what to say, where to go about this, how to do. And tears are flowing down my face. But God is faithful. God comforts us. Put yourself in a shoe for a minute. In Hagar's shoe. Now, you're a slave. You had a child with a slave owner. Okay? You have no rights whatsoever. Now, you're thinking now, Ishmael is my new hope. He is my new life. He's my ROI, remember? This guy is going to change my whole future. Now, because of this child, he's the son of a rich man. I have a standing in society. I'm a somebody. This is all my hopes and dreams. It's in this boy. That's why she cannot bear to see him die. Put him in the bush somewhere. Sometimes we are like that, where our hopes and dreams, we cannot see it anymore. We feel like everything is gone, all my plans for the future, everything is destroyed, my hope is gone, and we let it die in the bush and we look away. We got no more hope. But then, there is a voice speaking on our behalf. The angel heard, God heard, the boy's voice was heard. The boy's voice was heard. The son's voice was heard. And it's not a boy for us. We have the Son of the Most High God who is speaking on our behalf, interceding for us. You got no words, he's got all the words. He is there, he's standing in the gap. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. Amen. If you read John 17, you can see the whole chapter is Jesus praying for us, the believers. We have the Son praying for us, interceding for us. He opens her eyes and she saw a well of water. Amen. There's a well of water right here for you today. You are not going to die. Your hopes and dreams are not dead. The boy in the bushes is not dead. The people that you are praying for, your loved ones to be saved, the business that you're hoping that will turn around, your marriage that you feel is not going anywhere, your work, it is not dead yet. There is a well for you. Amen. Amen. The dreams that God had given you will come to fruition. The well was right there. She just could not see it until God opened her eyes. Sometimes we get tunnel vision, where we look at the hurts, where we look at the difficulty, we look at the hopelessness, the despair, the fear, makes us so locked in that we cannot even see God's provision is right there. We cannot see beyond that. God opened her eyes, and may He open our eyes today to see the well that He has for us. Amen. The living water He has for us. The living hope He has for us. The Bible doesn't say how long the well was there. It's probably there for a very, very long time. Maybe 300 years before she even arrived. It's already there. The answer is already there. Amen. So the question today is, are you thirsty? Are you looking for a well? Are you looking for the spring that God has for you? If you are thirsty, you are in a good place. Isaiah 41:17, it says, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. Amen. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. If you are thirsty, good news, God's going to do something about it. He will not leave you. Amen. Develop the thirst. Are you thirsty this morning? Pastor Abby, the pastor of the church, our church in Punjab, the first time he came to Malaysia many years ago, young guy, come from India, he went to some Bible school here, and first time traveling, so he didn't eat the food in the plane, he didn't drink the food in the plane, didn't drink the drinks in the plane, because he thought must pay for everything. And then he reached Malaysia, the guy who picked him up, offered him some water, and he did the Indian thing. Oh, no thanks, no thanks. Brother, you want some water? No, I'm okay. Are you hungry? You want some food? It's okay. Actually, he wants, but he's just polite lah. False humility. No, man. It's okay. Don't want. You know people who do that or not? Actually, you want, but no, it's okay. Chinese say what? Paise, shy. No, man, it's okay. So the guy said, you sure you don't want? I'm hungry, you know, I'm going to eat. So Pastor Abby just kept quiet. So this guy goes to drive-thru, or don't know what, he buys a burger, and he starts driving and eating in front of Pastor Abby's like, I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. This guy never give me any drink. When I said no, I thought he would still give me. But the guy just drove him all the way. So now when Pastor Abby comes back, I'll say, you're not thirsty, right? You're not hungry, right? No. Now I say I want. He learned his lesson. You're thirsty, say you're thirsty. Don't try to be polite. Don't try to be shy. You know? He suffered. I always tease him. So now when Pastor Stephen go and pick him up, I'm going to tell Pastor Stephen, you're not thirsty, you're not hungry, you don't need to give you anything. Hey, brother, don't. He learned the hard way, you know? So, if you're thirsty, say I'm thirsty. I want what you have for me. I'm not going to be shy. I'm not going to say, if God want to bless me means, let him bless me. La. Don't want to bless me means, I don't want. No, then you don't get. Then you'll be like Pastor Abby. Oh, yo, why the guy is so blessed? He's eating his burger in front of me. He's having his nice cold Coca-Cola in front of me and I don't have anything. You want it, you ask. Hello? Don't be shy. Come up. Cry out before God. I want it. How come this guy is so blessed? I need to be blessed too. I want to experience you for myself. I can be a testimony. I don't just need to listen to people's testimony. Why not me? Get your thirst back. Tap your neighbor. Say, get thirsty. My mother-in-law happy because she drink a lot of water. Every day 5 liters. That's why so slim. I know. So, fourth point. What if I'm too dehydrated? I am so dehydrated, I don't even have thirst anymore. I come to the service, the presence of God, I do not feel the presence, I don't feel the anointing, whatever the pastor preached, I do not feel is speaking to me. I have become too dehydrated. What about me? I want to get thirsty. I want. But I just lost it. I don't know how it happened. So probably slowly by slowly, I got distracted. I was busy doing stuff. And I became so dry and so thirsty. This is fourth point. The God who brings me back to life. Let's look at this. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and he set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among the dry bones. I saw a great many bones on the floor. The bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you only know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you. I will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So if you feel you're too spiritually dehydrated to respond, I'm dry bones, I cannot respond, there's good news for you. Today is the day of your resurrection. Somebody say hallelujah. He's bringing you back to life. Say amen. Amen. It's the day of your resurrection. Breathe life back into your spirit. Refresh you once again. Come to the water. You don't need to go through life with dry bones. No more dry bones. No more dehydrated. Come to the well and drink. Musicians can come up. Can come up quickly. So today's message is simple. Today's message is an invitation for you to come and drink again. I need to be refreshed again. I need to encounter you again. It's about different levels of thirst, from little bit to very desperate, all kinds of levels. Come and encounter Him. Let Him set you on the best pathway for your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to do the altar call. See, the altar call is somewhere, something very, very important. When we come here, we are dying to ourselves so that we can walk out of this place resurrected in Him. When we come here, my hopes, my dreams, my plans, God, I submit to you. I'm serious. That's why we have altar call. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it lightly. Amen. When we submit, we're saying to God, you have a better plan for me. The best place is where you want me to be. Amen. This is how we respond to Him. Don't come up later and just stand here and just stand like that. Do not do that. When you come up here, learn to cry out to God. Pray. Ask God. When Hannah wanted a child so bad, she was crying until no more words. And then Eli said, what? Your prayer is answered. Finish. Where did it happen? When she came out and she learned to cry. Coming out to the altar touches God's heart. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. Today is not a day to be shy. I've experienced all this. Sometimes I go altar call, sometimes I don't. I always think what people think of me. Pastor son also go for altar call, no. But there comes a time where I say, I don't care what people think. This is between me and God. Church is between you and God today. The Holy Spirit is here. I'm not trying to make you go on a guilt trip. The last thing I want to do is manipulate you to come in front. No. This is 100% between you and God. Maybe last time you want to come, but you're shy. But today is an opportunity for you to respond right here at the altar. Come, let's worship Him.